Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
WGN. John Hanson in for Bob Surratt here at 6:40 on this Monday morning. It's time we check in with the wonderful Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Center of DuPage. Dr. Most, thanks for hopping on this morning.
Good morning, John. How are you doing?
Oh, so great to chat with you. And the news keeps on getting better. Not there yet, of course, but the CDC announcing the mask regulations, or at least our advisories, lifted last week. There's like a breath of fresh air, literally, happening across the streets of Chicago, inside and out, and the numbers keep on getting better. So I don't want to say we should celebrate. This thing ain't over, but I imagine there's a lot of positivity going around at Northwestern as well, too.
Absolutely. You know, just from the hospital's point of view and the health system's point of view, you know, we've seen our numbers drop dramatically for those patients who are hospitalized. So that's great. Our ICUs don't have as many patients as we had, obviously, at the peak. So from a healthcare point of view, absolutely. I still think, you know, there's a little bit of confusion here. You know, the CDC made these guidelines, but the state still has its mask mandate in place. You know, hopefully the governor will lift that today with an executive order because it's so confusing.
Yeah.
You know, he comes out on Thursday and says, I agree with the CDC, and yet the, you know, all the companies, all the stores, all the restaurants still are living under this mask mandate that we've had.
Do you, I don't want to ask you to put you on the spot, agree or disagree, but do you think it was the right timing in terms of we're at that point? Do you feel confident that we've done pretty good here, at least in Illinois, about getting vaccinated and the numbers are going down? It seems to be the data justifies what we've heard, even though for some people it caught them off a little off guard.
Yeah, it really did. It caught a lot of people off guard. Personally, I think the CDC media relations probably needs a little tweaking. You know, the study came out, the three studies came out that showed that those people who have been fully vaccinated have a very low chance of transmitting the illness, which is the exact study we were waiting for. But I would have waited a little bit more to get vaccination rates up, although many say this is that carrot. This is the carrot for those who are hesitant to say, oh, I won't have to wear a mask, therefore I am going to get vaccinated now.
Yeah, that carrot stick argument's interesting because, of course, someone could walk in, say they're vaccinated, and, you know, we're not having people show proof. And I know the president said they're not going to, you know, arrest anyone, and it's up to different places what they want to do. But it does. I think it does provide that element of, especially with the previous guidelines that have come out that really didn't show much benefit in terms of where you could or couldn't wear a mask if you were vaccinated. This certainly does provide that. By the way, Dr. Mo, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Got some great questions on the text line. Get yours in, too, 312-981-7200. So this texter has a great question. So you could still get COVID after getting fully vaccinated, but you're not likely to get too sick from it at that point, correct? My question is, from the texter, is can you be a carrier after being fully vaccinated and still pass it to others, or does the virus die when it hits a fully vaccinated individual? Do we know the answer to that, or is we still we're still trying to figure that out?
Well, no, that was actually the big news that came out last week. That's why everyone's looking, saying, well, wait a second. Why, if we've been fully vaccinated where we used to have to wear masks, why don't we have to anymore? You have to remember that we were wearing masks after being vaccinated to protect others in the case that we may be asymptomatic carriers. A large study out of Israel came out showing 94% of those individuals would not carry the virus and would not shed it. That's the news that said, okay, we don't have to wear a mask now because there's a very low chance of someone who's been fully vaccinated to transmit this illness as an asymptomatic person to others. That's why we're not wearing masks anymore. So we were all waiting for these studies to come out. There were two in the United States and one in Israel that came out last week. That was the big shockwave. And like I said, if I was the CDC, I probably would have sat on that for a little bit, looked at it, and made sure that we rolled it out appropriately, because now you have mass confusion across the entire country.
847 wants to know, if I go on a cruise in November, will I need a booster if I'm already fully vaccinated? Thanks for all you do, Dr. Most. I'm sure there's a lot of we don't know in that answer, but I think most people anticipate there will be some sort of booster, you know, available in the fall or needed to be available in the fall.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see when the booster comes out. If you remember, we've been tracking this vaccine for months now, right? So we just, what was probably about a month, month and a half ago, we came out and said those individuals who were in the trials early, still 6 months later, had great immunity. We want to see when that immunity is going to start to wane, for one thing, and the predominance of the variants. If the predominance of the variants really continue to increase, then the booster will be, obviously, would be moved up. Will it be by this fall? It's going to be a tough call. You know, I think it's really going to end up on where we get where we end up with our complete vaccination rate here, you know, by like 4th of July. Certainly to roll out a booster then would be, the timing would be unusual, right? I get my regular shot on 4th of July and now I'm getting a booster a couple months later. So it'll be interesting to see the variant run as well as how long the protection appears to last in those that are following the study closely.
If are booster shots just going to be another dose of the same thing you got? And I guess what I'm asking is, does it require a whole new production and development, or is it likely going to be from the doses we already have or are already in production?
No, it's going to be totally different.
Oh, okay.
Right. So there, you know, when we started this vaccine, which was about this time last year, we were basing it on the novel coronavirus, which now you've all heard about the variants, right? The South African variant, the British variant, the spike has changed, and, you know, all of these different changes, and the double mutants. Those are going to be what is going to be in the booster shot, just like we do with influenza. You know, each year we look for the predominant strain of influenza, influenza A, influenza B, one of the most predominant strains that we're going to be exposed to, and that's what's in the flu shot. The same thing would happen here with COVID. Show me where the biggest run of variants are, put that in the booster. So it would be a totally different shot.
Is it a similar development timeline as the vaccine initially, or once we've already gotten this far, it's just a matter of, I clearly do not know how this works, but plugging in different things, and we've done most of the legwork already on this.
100%. This is going to be, I hate to use a plug and play, but this is going to be a plug and play.
Okay.
They will figure out what the variants are that they're going to try to identify once the production can be kicked in. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, we're looking at the United States at 62% of us have had at least one shot. Look around the world and no one else is, well, I mean, Israel's better than us.
Right.
There's a few countries better than us, but there's a lot of countries that haven't received any. So now you have this ethical dilemma of, are we going to ask these pharmaceutical manufacturers to start making boosters, or are we going to say, hey, we still need to vaccinate the rest of the world before we start looking out for additional protection for ourselves?
Yeah, I was shocked when I saw the number worldwide. I think it was like 5% the last time I checked, which was pretty eye-opening. And of course, it's a global pandemic. That's what this is all about. John Hansen in for Bob Surratt. Dr. Most joining us. And Dr. Most, I just wanted to say that I just looked at New York Times tracker. 1.47 billion vaccines have been administered worldwide. Sounds like a big number, but that's about 19 people out of every 100. And of course, that's just the first dose. I was throwing some numbers out before the break, figured I'd get the actual ones. All right, Dr. Most, got some more questions here for you. 312-917-200 is the text line. 773 wants to know, how long after testing positive for COVID can I get the vaccine?
Yeah, it's a great question because a lot of people did test positive in the past, right? So we know people have had COVID in December, in January, in February, March. And, you know, certainly those individuals, once they're asymptomatic, we want them to get vaccinated. So anybody who's had COVID and doesn't have symptoms can go ahead and get vaccinated now. And people need to understand a lot of confusion, too, about, well, why do I need the vaccine if I've already had it? Won't my body make natural antibodies? And that is true. But we have this infection that has gone from asymptomatic in some people all the way to people being in the intensive care unit. So the response from each person is totally individual. So that's why we're encouraging people, even if they've, after they've had COVID, to get vaccinated. And we know the response in those individuals is great, and you have great protection going forward.
Now, I talked to someone who had COVID who got really sick and said, well, my body's ready for it now. I don't want to get the vaccine. I'm like, you saw it firsthand. You got really sick. Why wouldn't you just do it? It's the shot in the arm. Anyways, I know that you probably deal with a lot of that, but I think it's important to listen and talk to people honestly and try and have good conversations and not just shun people away for who are a little hesitant. That makes sense. Dr. Most, one hesitancy I do hear that I think is really underreported, and I don't like needles all that much, but I'm not deathly afraid. But I know a lot of people who their hesitancy is the needle itself, and it's not helped by every TV station showing needles going into arms 10 times every single newscast. It used to fill me with positivity, but it kind of grosses me out. Are we anywhere closer on an oral vaccine or something? Because there is a large percent of the population that's their hesitancy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, will we get to oral vaccine? Probably not, just because the acid in our stomach breaks down these things very, very quickly. So we probably wouldn't be good. Now, if everybody thinks about it, we do have nasal sprays for influenza virus or vaccines. So will we get to that point? Potentially. And I would say, I know there's a lot of needle phobia and a lot of people who just hate needles. And I can tell you that the needles that we use are the smallest gauge possible. They're very, very small. They're very sharp so that the discomfort is very minimal. But I know there's a lot of people out there that have that, and I feel bad for them. But I also think that I'd ask somebody, would you like to lose your sense of taste and smell? Would you like to have headaches every morning? Would you like to have brain fog or cognitive? Or do you think that little poke of a needle once or twice would be much more tolerable? Yeah. So the needle phobia people, I say, find out where they're doing J&J and go for the one shot, and at least you're going to get that protection and minimize your needle phobia.
Yeah, a ventilator is quite a poke, too. Don't want to deal with that. Another question coming in on the text line. How do people... Oh, here's one. Is tinnitus, which is ringing in the ears, which I had to Google. I didn't know that off the top of my head.
Right.
A sign that someone has had COVID without any other symptoms. I imagine that could be any number of things, but I guess it could be a potential symptom.
It can be, but it's really not really... reported much. Matter of fact, it's way down on the list if you look. And then if you looked at that and said, well, that could happen from so many other different reasons. Certainly, we know the taste and smell, so we know that where this virus happens to live is closer to the olfactory nerve for taste and smell than it is anywhere near the inner ear and the middle ear for the hearing and ringing in the ear portion. So not a high chance of that. And definitely see an ENT doctor. We have treatments for that illness now, and it's kind of frustrating, I know, with many people.
Last question here. We talked about boosters a little bit ago, and had a great question about the flu vaccine. Do you think eventually, maybe even this winter, we're going to get a one-stop shop? A syringe goes in, and it's got a whole bunch of things to help you out?
100%. I think that they're going to couple these two together, influenza and COVID, and going forward, you're going to get one shot in the fall that's going to cover you for both illnesses.
Oh, I love that, because I don't have a needle phobia, but I don't like it. So just get it all in one. That's what I say.
Oh, yeah. Just the logistics and the confusion. Let's make it easy. Go get your shot in the fall.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Dr. Most, we appreciate your time. I appreciate it.
John, take care. We'll talk soon.